Welcome to the Disciple Making Leader Podcast, your resource for exploring the world of disciple making and leadership within the church. Discover Jesus' strategy for raising up leaders, growing the church, and multiplying a movement. Let's jump into today's episode and explore the power of a disciple making leader.
Well, welcome to another episode of the Disciple Making Leader Podcast. I'm your host today, Ben Borgman. I am the executive director of Disciple First. And, you know, hopefully as you've been listening to our podcast, that you know that we are super passionate about making and multiplying disciples like Jesus and really encouraging you to do the same. And so today we're just super excited to have in our studio two of my favorite people, two great leaders that I've been blessed to have in my life, and both have impacted and learned so much from them. And so just to kind of have them talk about just about all these leadership things through our episodes, I just really, hopefully you are encouraged just as much as I have been in my life. So just to share them with you today is a pleasure. So in the studio, we have Pastor Craig Etheridge. How you doing today, Craig?
I'm doing good, brother. I'm happy to be here and hanging out with you guys.
Yeah, tried and true. So if you listen, he's definitely a regular here. Can't get rid of him.
kind of like a bad idea. Just can't get rid of it.
Just keep showing up. He's here. We come in the podcast room. Here he is.
That's right.
No. We love Craig, and we're so thankful that he gives us time to encourage us and you. And so thank you, Craig, for being on today. Yep. And then our partner in crime, Glenn Underhill.
He is in the house.
Mr. Skittles himself.
Mr. Skittles himself.
Hey, that would be a good nickname for you. Just call you Skittles.
Well, you know, actually, I've kind of adjusted a little bit since I've...
Since the warning label that said this is like illegal in other countries.
All that kind of stuff in it. So I'm now on to Mikes and Ikes. And more specifically, just, you know, moan of confession. Zowers from Mikes and Ikes. They're the sour-coated... ones with Mikes and Ikes.
So man, if I could only be your dentist, I would be rolling in it right now.
Hopefully, my dentist already retired.
He retired after like two visits with Glenn. He retired. He had enough to retire.
No doubt.
So again, today we're excited because we're going to talk about vision. This is actually going to be a two-part episode, and we're just going to really focus in on this episode to talk about crafting a vision, why that's important, and really as a disciple-making leader. If you're trying to lead others to making disciples like Jesus and really lead the way, it is important to be clear with your vision, and it's important to really have something that's compelling and people want to follow. So that's sometimes people, you know, their hearts are in it and they develop these visions, but really it's not super clear. It's not very compelling. And so that's what we're really going to talk about today. Just from your experience, Glenn and Craig, of leading an organization with this, hey, we're heading in this direction, this vision, and making sure it's captivating, making sure it's clear. That's really what we're going to talk about in this first episode, is really how do you craft a super intentional, super clear vision. So, Craig, I want you to start. Why is vision so important?
Yeah, you know, Ben, I think vision, it's been said before, this is not original with me, that vision is maybe the number one important tool in the leadership tool belt, because a leader by definition is taking you from point A to point B. Mm-hmm. It's going somewhere. And if you don't really know where you're going, or people don't know where you're going, then it creates a tremendous amount of confusion and lack of buy-in, and kind of a toss-up of whoever idea wins or whoever's the loudest in the room as to where your organization is actually going to go. So a leader cannot lead without a very clear vision, and the sharper the vision, the better. I think about when I was in the business school at Texas Tech. I remember sitting on the back row, and I could not. I mean, I was the instructor was writing something on the board. I couldn't see it, and I'd never worn glasses before. And somebody next to me said, "Here, try these." And they gave me their glasses, and I put them on, and all of a sudden, I could see the whole board. I was like, "Man, how long have I been going? You know, with this fuzzy vision, right?" I was like, I was shocked at how clear it was. And of course, from that point on, you know, I wear glasses, and I think a lot of leaders too maybe aren't realizing how fuzzy their vision actually is. It may seem like a lot of good sense to them, you know. They may see it clearly, but that just because it's clear to you doesn't mean it's clear to the people around you or the people that you're leading. And so because of that, we just need to understand that vision is vital. It is vital to you as a leader, vital to your organization, and that it needs to be clear to the people around you that you are leading. You know, the Bible talks about this, Proverbs 29:18, where there's no vision, the people perish. And really that word vision there is in context, you know, a word from God, speaking a word from God. And I think vision and a word from God, you know, especially in within the church, should be one and the same. You know, that God is giving you a clear vision for your church, and that vision is very identifiable, realistic, able to achieve, and moving forward. And there's nothing that more inspires, I think, our team when we say, hey, we have a clear vision and we're actually making progress. We can see, hey, we're moving down this line. Unfortunately, a lot of leaders kind of have a scattered vision. It's like this on Monday, and it's something else on Thursday, and next week it's something else because I've read something or listened to a podcast or, you know, or saw a great, you know, church. And so now we're going to shift everything that way. It's a bit of a whack-a-mole kind of approach to vision as opposed to really laying out what is a clear, unique vision for this church and for this organization.
Yeah. So Glenn, Craig talked about the importance. Have you ever experienced poor vision? And not to call anybody out,
Have
you ever casted poor vision?
Well, I could probably say yes to both of that, but I think what Craig is saying is really good. And having worked with Craig for a very long time, I can say that I have been fortunate to work for just a couple guys, and the two guys that I've worked for have been just really good at casting and setting great vision. And I like to think of vision like setting direction. I can't think of a better way to say, or the better thing to do as a leader is, number one thing we do as leaders is set direction. Mm-hmm. And that requires the vision piece of that. And when I think good vision helps to serve as a great filter too. So that you're not chasing the whack-a-mole approach. Because if you have a good, clear, compelling vision and direction as things are coming at you, you're able to say, hey, good, but not what we need to be going towards. When I was a young leader, I worked for another leader. And I can tell you it was very discouraging because I was never quite sure where we were headed all the time. You know, it was like, hey, I think we're going this direction. And then we'd come back and it was headed this direction and we were headed in this way. And I constantly felt like I was moving and setting myself towards that. And then it changed. Mm-hmm. And there is nothing more discouraging on the other side of that to be going, can we just find and set that direction, set that vision, and then move forward and not have a lot of change. Yeah. So I think a downside of not having good, clear vision is it is demoralizing to those underneath you.
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit of whiplash, right?
Big way, yeah. Whiplash, the organization can get demoralized. Or what I have found, even as we're working with churches and coaching churches, is that you can get people who have other agendas, and now it becomes a faction of competing visions, and that is never a good win for the church.
You know, leadership is if there's a void of leadership, somebody's going to fill it. And you're exactly right. When there's no clear vision as where we're going and people bought in and moving that direction, somebody's going to fill that void with their vision of what should be. And then you have a recipe for all kinds of schisms and factions that develop within your church.
Yeah. So looking around the table, all of us have on glasses. And so kind of going back to your—
Except for Keith over here.
Over there running the board. Sorry, Keith. He actually has
contacts. Got contacts. All right, so there you go.
So at some point in time, we've all been to the eye doctor. Like you said, hey, you put on glasses and it was clear. So we want to spend a lot of just practical time the rest of this podcast talking about how do you really test a vision? How do you test if a vision is clear? How do you test that it's godly? How do you test that this is the direction you should take? So that as a leader, you have confidence in that and you have confidence that people are going to follow and that, hey, this is clear. This is the direction we're going to go. Because I know me as a leader, if I have confidence, I'm completely different than if I'm hesitant. So, Craig, let's lay out what would you lay out in front of a leader as a vision test?
Yeah. So just like you would go to the optometrist or whatever and get your vision tested, I think there are some tests. I'm going to give you five of them that are ways that you can test your vision to see if it's honed properly and useful. I'll give you five of them. Here's the first one, the passion test. Does your vision move you personally? I think that when you look throughout Scripture and you see God giving vision, whether it be to Abraham or whether it be to Moses or what, you know, these great leaders in the Scripture, that there's a desire for that. There's a movement within them. And there has to be some passion within you as a leader to say, this must be, or it's not going to have the fuel to move anybody else. Mm-hmm. And there's got to be, I call it the pound the table, you know, energy in it and passion in it that this must change. And sometimes that vision comes from seeing something that's not happening that needs to be corrected.
Yeah.
You know, or a crisis, or we've fallen into this position that is not what God wants. And so there's something that rises up within you that says that we cannot continue this direction. We must change course. We must go this direction. And so I think this passion is important. It's not just enough that I got some good things on paper. Is this moving me internally? Mm-hmm. And sometimes in order to get a church to move with you into a new vision direction, you have to set the house on fire a little bit. And what I mean by that is you have to call out what is not happening and how God sees that and how that is not okay. And here's the impact of it on lost people around us. And here's the impact of it on our church. And we can't go this direction. We have to turn to this direction.
Yeah.
You know, because typically people are pretty comfortable where they are and they don't shift course unless the house is on fire, you know? And so there's that sense of urgency and passion that is not contrived. It's not, you know, made up. It is a real conviction that we must do this. And I found that we're going to get into casting vision later, but that is an important part, this passion test. Let me give you the second one, the clarity test. Is your vision clear to your team? Mm-hmm. Not just to you, but to your team? Does it foster unity, motivation, excitement in your team? In other words, if you ask your team, what is our vision? Do they know? Could they say, could they articulate it? If they don't, then you've got work to do as a leader to make that clear, right?
Yeah.
To say, this is where we're going. This is what we're doing. This is why this matters. And so I think asking your team will give you a good barometer of how clear your vision is. It fuzzy? Oh, we're kind of doing something with, you know, reaching people and discipling, you know, or is it really clear? This is where we're headed. This is where we're going.
Yeah.
And by the way, that takes a lot of work to constantly refine and recast that vision. Because, you know, the old phrase vision leaks is really true.
Right.
And so it's difficult, but it's the work of the leader to make it clear.
And can I just tag on to that real quickly? Those three words, unity, motivation, and excitement, I would say if, you know, you could go, well, hey, if one of those exists, woohoo.
Right.
I would say unequivocally, all three of those must exist. Mm-hmm. If one of those three is missing, there is still work to do.
Right.
To really continuing to cast that vision to your team, because that's where it starts, is with your team. Yep. But those three should be in concert together, working in great collaboration and unity together. Because if any of those are missing, it means that there's still. I think of it as there's still work to be done.
Right, right. And you know, if we can take just a little rabbit trail here, there is a difference, there is a nuance, and Glenn and I have talked about this quite a bit, between just mission and vision. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes those do get a little mixed together. In my mind, mission is, you know, why do you exist? It's a short statement. Our church's mission is to lead every generation to know and follow Jesus. It's short. You can put it on a bumper sticker. You know, it clarifies very simply why you exist. But your vision is what is that going to look like, you know, and how does that fleshed out? You know what? The mission may be black and white, but the vision is in color. You know, it's actually painting a picture of what this will look like when we achieve it. And so there's more meat to the bones of it, so to speak, instead of just a simple statement. And so I think as leaders, both of them are useful and both of them are tools in your tool belt, but they're not to be confused.
Yeah, and that's the big thing about vision and the differentiation in my mind of mission and vision is vision. It implies something you can see. Right. So how are you painting that picture for your people so they're very clear on what you're asking them to do and directionally and crafting that? Like, I love that in color. Right. How do you really – is that really making sense to them, what you're asking them to do or where you're taking them? And I think, again, that makes great vision if they can see it.
Yeah. Yeah. So passion test, clarity test. Number three is direction test. Does your vision provide a roadmap for success? And that's kind of like going back to what Glenn, you said about direction, setting direction. This is going to provide us kind of this roadmap, and we can actually, if you and I go to LA, you know, we can we'll have a roadmap and we can mark along our progress along that way. And so your vision needs to be such that you can chart your growth toward it. And you can see, hey, we've accomplished this part. Now the next phase is this part and the next phase is this part. And everybody gets more energy and more excitement and more unity as you progress down that road because they're getting excited that, hey, we're actually making progress. You know, I talked to a group of pastors not too long ago and we brought up this topic of vision and the room just kind of went silent. And they're like, well, we do Sunday morning and we do, you know, our groups. And there wasn't a sense of where we're going.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that they were even convinced that they needed to have a vision of where they were going. Yeah. But Glenn, this seems to be super important when we're doing our work to let people know this is where we're going as an organization and here's the progress we're making.
Yeah. I like to think of it when you talk about a roadmap, are we providing a map or are we giving a menu? And I think without a very clear vision, you just have a menu because you're just going from this to this to this. And after our podcast, I want to kind of go do a Chinese buffet, right? Because I like to choose from all the different things we have on them. But if that's how we operate church and organizations, man, we're going to have a hard time getting anywhere having any kind of great destination. I like to, you know, another way to say it is a preferred destination, right? So again, absolutely vital that you provide a map and move away from that menu mentality.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's all preference. Menus are about what do you feel, what do you need, what do you think you need, not a leader saying this is the direction we have and trust me, you'll get what you need along the way. God will provide that, but it's going to be so much better than what if you just sat there and picked what you need or what you think you need.
And you know, the easiest time to do this and where we see it the most clearly is in like a building project. Mm-hmm. Okay. You think about a building project, you finally decide we're going to build a new worship center. We're going to build something. And so what is the first thing they do? They paint the picture, right? So you can see what it's going to look like and how cool it's going to be. And now they've got all this stuff, you know, that you can create these videos where you're walking through the building, this virtual reality of it. And so that picture is so clear. And then they know, okay, we're going to be in the fundraising phase and then we're going to go to construction phase and that you're charting your path till the opening day, right? And so that's very clearly vision, right? It's setting a charting a path, clear vision up front, very clear, people motivated, unified to get on board with it. But we don't apply that same mindset to the ministries of the church. And that may be because we feel like that's a little bit more subjective maybe, or not as visual, not as tangible, but so vital, right? Yeah. So vital. And so we have to think about that in terms of the ministries and the direction your church is going and what the church is going to accomplish and not just a building.
Yeah.
So passion test, clarity test, direction test, the uniqueness test, does your vision express your organizational uniqueness? And that is just simply to say that I can't just go to, oh, this cool church in Dallas and I'm going to just take their vision, mm-hmm. right? I love this group, so I'm going to take their vision. Well, you know, that's how God uniquely made them, but there's something unique about you.
Yeah.
You know, I've got this friend of mine. He pastors a church that multiplies a lot on college campuses, and then they're doing great. But I can't go borrow his vision because our church isn't on a college campus. Yeah. You know, we're just wired. We're just very different, unique churches. But what's a unique vision that God has for our church? What's a unique opportunity that God has for our church? Every church has got a different calling, and so that's for the leader to discern, and then to cast that vision. And then the last one is just a longevity test. Does your vision have staying power? And that just means that it's not just a vision for the next 3 months. You know, I mean, that's good. There are certainly ministries that may have a shorter run of their vision, what they're wanting to accomplish. But your whole church should have a more long-term play in mind, a multi-year play in mind. We'll get into that in just a minute. But not just a short run thing that's just a flash in the pan.
Yeah. And I think this vision test is a really just super practical, simple. These are simple questions. We've actually formatted this for you as you're listening as a download, and you can find that in the show notes. There'll be a link for that, and you can download that. And so before we shift into really just, okay, now what about crafting? What types of vision? We're going to talk about that. Before we get into that, I want to take a quick break just to give everybody a little bit of time to process that, and then we'll be right back.
Ministry can be lonely. Now more than ever, pastors are feeling the pressure of raising expectations among their members. Pastors are expected to be stellar preachers, effective evangelists, thoughtful counselors, courageous change agents, astute business managers, all the while steering the church to accomplish its mission. And all of this can be overwhelming at times. Wouldn't it be great to have someone in your corner, someone who understands what you're facing and can help you make the wise decisions that lead the church to make disciples of all nations? Disciple First is here to help. We can provide you with personalized coaching that will help you develop and sustain a healthy movement of multiplying disciples. Our coaching includes a free evaluation to identify your church's health and your current sticking points. Also, a roadmap for sustained health and a team of proven leaders that will give you customized counsel to help you move forward. Listen, you don't have to be alone in ministry. Let's start talking today. For more information and a free ministry evaluation, go to disciplefirst.com/coaching. That's disciplefirst.com/coaching.
Welcome back. We've been talking super practically about the how vital vision is, and then we've laid out, Craig kind of went through his vision test. Okay, if vision is that important, how do we know that this is going to be something that is captivating, is compelling, it's inspiring, and really extremely clear? So we had that vision test. You talked about that, and I just think that's a powerful tool. So, but Craig, you know, as you're talking about this, how are, you start to craft a vision, there's even different types of vision. So can you kind of help us, again, let's hone in on what you mean by vision. What are some of the vision types of vision out there, just to continue help us understand, if I'm a leader and I'm crafting vision, okay, how do I really move forward in that? So let's talk about the types of vision there are out there.
Yeah, well, I want to start off just talking about inspirational vision. I think as a young leader, I thought vision is something just like purely inspirational, right? It's the president, you know, gives this incredible, we're going to the moon, and everybody goes, yeah, we're going, you know, or of course, probably the most inspirational vision casting would be Martin Luther King when he was, you know, talking about, I have a dream, you know, I have a dream, and he just paints it in such a inspiration. I mean, I still get goosebumps when I hear that speech. It was an iconic speech of a vision of America that was united, not divided. And, so I can remember as a young leader, I'd heard, I think it was Rick Warren had cast this vision at Saddleback about, I see, you know, multiple, you know, this, how many thousands coming and these number being saved and, you know, just this great picture. And I thought, man, that's what vision is. And so I decided I'm going to cast some vision in our church. And so I got up and I said, I don't know, Glenn, if you remember that.
I do remember
that. I got up and I said, man, we're going to see thousands of people came. And the people just you know, like crickets, you know, they were like staring at me like, what are you talking about? You know, and because I thought vision was this big inspirational thing. And people do want to be a part of something mm-hmm. inspirational. They want to be something, a part of something that's bigger than themselves. But I quickly learned that vision without any actual plan is not a vision. It's a dream. You know, it's a pipe dream. It's not really going to move you forward because people look at you and they go, okay, but we can't really pull that off.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you're losing credibility when you do that. But the inspiration is important. So I remembered as a young leader, kind of going, well, man, I guess I don't know what vision is. Cause if it's not inspirational, and again, there's an element that needs to have that. But if it's not purely inspirational, then what is it? And so I kind of pivoted to the opposite extreme, which I will call incremental vision. And that is, this is very pragmatic. This is very doable. We're going to increase connect groups by 20% this year. We're going to have a 10% increase in visitors. We're going to have, you know, incremental, yeah. you know, just kind of a step at a time. And then we're going to achieve that. And then another step at a time. And so we had this incremental growth that, is very practical. You can set plans toward that. You can actually know if you accomplished it and it can become tangible. And so we did that for a period of time, and that was good, and I thought that was helpful. But the problem with incremental growth is nobody's going to run through a brick wall for that. Nobody's going to run through a brick wall for 10% growth, yeah. you know, in baptisms, you know, or something like that. Even though those are important, they're tangible, they're measurable, but they're not. They lose the inspiration part of it.
Yeah,
right.
So passion in that. Yeah,
that's right. So I'm like, okay, well, which is it then? You know, and I guess. What I've come to is that it's both. Mm-hmm. There has to be some element of it that has the inspirational piece and then some element of it that has the practical plan piece that you can know that you're making progress and it needs to have an element of both. And so I don't know where you are, you know, as you're listening to this, I don't know where you are in your vision development, but if it's 100% inspirational without a plan, or if it's 100% incremental but no inspiration, you're probably not moving the organization forward like you want to. And you may be feeling very frustrated, like, oh, I can't get anything out there that people can really grab mm-hmm. a hold of. Glenn, I know you and I have been through both of these from time to time.
Right. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I do lean on the side of the inspirational piece, because I think people need to be inspired to something greater than what their current reality is, right? Yeah. That there's a great cause by which to give my life to, right? Mm-hmm. I think it's one of the things that Jesus was so good at,
yeah.
was casting this inspiring new reality for what is to be, this new kingdom yeah. mindset, right? But I do think that where oftentimes leaders get stuck is then on the strategic nature of which how to go about putting that vision into action. Mm-hmm. And I think when, you know, I can remember early on when we were in Oklahoma, man, I was all in. I was like, I'm taking the camp. I'm going on the hill with you, buddy. I'm all over it, right? And I do remember our people going, right? Kind of like, there's no way. But I was like, man, I'm all in. But then I do remember after some time realizing, oh, yeah, we probably I think they were like, hey, you guys are great. Pat you on the back, but come on now. Really? Right. Because we gave no credible incremental pieces to that.
Right. No plan really for that to happen.
So I would say before you cast vision in an inspiring way, make sure you've also done your due diligence in this incremental part, because one without the other can really ship it – it'll sink the ship.
Yeah. Yeah. And so if you've led any level – You know, you probably had a time when you tried to cast vision in it and you got that same blank stare. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think that's part of it, right? That you're learning through that. But how can you get better? And so really kind of, I'm just giving you kind of Glenn and my journey together. One, we kind of started with only inspiration, moved to only incremental. And so now we kind of come to what we call intentional vision. And I believe this intentional vision really has a, has elements of both in them. And so back our trip to LA, you know, if we have a trip to LA, we're going to have a destination. We're going to put it in Siri, or we're going to put it in Waze. You're going to put it in some directional device, and you're going to kind of see where you're going to go. So that's kind of the big picture. You're going to have a clear picture of the destination. We're going to go to the ball game in LA. We're going to watch the Dodgers, and it's going to be awesome. And so we got a clear picture of where that's going to, where we're wanting to end up. But we're also going to have to look through the windshield. We're going to have a shorter cast of vision where we, as far as our eyes can see on the road, that's a shorter vision, but very important, right? If I don't look at the road, I'm going to go off the road, right? I'm going to hit a deer. I'm going to run into something. So I have to look at, but then I also have to be able to look at the dashboard. I have to be able to look at, do we need gas, you know, or what's my speed like? So when I'm traveling, my eyes are volleying back and forth mm-hmm. between the dashboard, the windshield, and the long-term direction. I'm constantly looking at where I'm going long-term. I'm looking at the GPS screen. I'm looking at the windshield. That's just how if you took a trip. So I think the same thing is true in leading an organization, that you need to have a long-term element. Here's where we're going to be in you know, 5 years, 8 years, 10 years, whatever that long stretch is. And then a mid-range stretch of 3 years, and then an immediate element of 1 year, which would be more like looking at your dashboard. And the 1 year kind of rolls up to what you want to accomplish there, will roll up to that 3 year plan. And that 3 year plan begins to roll up into that longer term, either 5 or 8 or 10 year plan. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And it's, so the dashboard is super practical. That's where really you would get into the incremental vision. So that's as you roll up, hey, what do we need to take care of right now? What's going on right now? And how is that helping us kind of move down the road to that windshield? So this is how you take each one of those rolling up to the other, to where you actually get both the inspirational and the incremental all in one. And it's super intentional. You're not neglecting the passion, the vision casting. This is what we're doing. We're inspiring you. Or how we're actually going to get there. And right. We're out of gas like that. So you're not neglecting one for the other.
Right. The big picture, the long-term vision, the 5 year, the 10 or the 8 year, whatever point you put it, that's the inspiration piece. We're going to be there. It's going to be awesome. We're going to be in LA. We're going to be at Dodger Stadium. It's going to be great. That's what's motivating you to get on this road in the first place. Yeah. And so you can cast the big inspirational vision, and you can do it with credibility, because you can say, now look how far we've come. You know, when you get to the 3 year, you can celebrate, man, look at what we've done the last 3 years. Look how we're moving forward. Look how the vision is actually becoming reality. And that in itself is a moment of celebration mm-hmm. and a time of recasting the vision again. And now you got credibility because you've actually done it. You've already seen some of it, right? The 1 year is what we're going to do this year. And so it comes down to, what are our goals for this year? What are our things we're going to have to accomplish this year? And it's more pragmatic, right? Okay, we're going to get these done this year. So that has a little bit of the incremental feel to it, but it's tangible. It's practical. We can know, yes, we did, or no, we didn't reach it. And so we've followed this 10-year, 3-year, 1-year for many years now. And when we go on a staff retreat, we'll look at our 10-year plan again. Okay, here's where we want to be in 10 years from now. And then here's where we are. Look at how our several 1 years now have stacked up to this 3-year element, and look how far we've come. And we literally will check off things that we had on the board that we wanted to see happen, and we've seen it happen. And I just see in the eyes of our team that they're like, man, we're actually going somewhere. We're actually moving forward. We're accomplishing the things of this vision that we wanted to see. And that is what you're missing with just a stirring speech, but no plan.
Yeah.
You know, after a while, it's just like, okay, I'm going to get stirred up again, but it's going to go back to the same old thing we've always had.
And I think what it also allows is that it allows some window for what I would call things that become vision hindrances or obstacles that you weren't planning on, right? Maybe you Maybe there's a downturn in the economy because you were saying, hey, we're going to build this certain, you know, part of the facility to help us accomplish this. And we had to adjust because we didn't know the economy was going to. So there are just going to things that are going to come along the way that I think are important is when you break it down in these three pieces, it allows you to continually say, yes, we're moving forward. These are the things we've seen accomplished in this short window of time. But then that 1 year piece really is, how are we helping to move the ball down the court in order to really truly reach that long term vision? And that's, I know, very motivating for a guy who leads a team, because then they can say, hey, the things I'm actually working on this year are going to help accomplish what we're setting our mark at 10 years from now. Yeah. And they feel like it gives purpose and meaning, and it's not just some arbitrary thing we're just, you know, I'm just doing this or I'm doing that. I'm giving myself to something that is meaningful and impactful, and yet along the way knowing, hey, we may reach some things along the way where we may actually be pushing beyond what we thought we were capable of doing. Like right now, we've got some areas that we're like further ahead than what we thought, and we're like, oh, maybe God's doing something here, stirring something that we didn't take into a whole lot of account for, Lord, thank you. Right. And maybe we need to redirect more resources that direction and even dream a little bit larger on that end of stuff. Yeah, so
that's right. We're right in the middle of kind of recasting. We had a 10-year plan that we were able to accomplish in like 5 years. Mm. And praise God for that. Yeah. But now we're like, okay, so we're having to redream the longer stretch, which is exciting and fun to do that and then kind of recalibrate. But it allows you to tell not only your teams, but even your church, look how far we've come. Yeah. And look where and with every conversation like that, you are building credibility. They trust you more. They trust you more. You didn't go squirrel on them and just jet off down some road, you know, that, wait, we're going to LA and you just took off, you know, toward Minnesota. What are you doing? You know, you didn't do that. You stayed the course. We showed progress, and that breeds credibility. And I think one thing Glenn said that I just want to underscore is that along the road, just like a trip to LA, you're going to have hazards in the road. You're going to have things come up that are unexpected.
You're going to have car trouble, yeah. Right, that you didn't think of.
Right. Roads are shut down. I remember when we were in Israel and we were like 40 minutes to our place and there was a fire yes. That burned over the – Keith, were you on that trip? A fire that went over the highway and they rerouted us through Samaria and it was like another three
hours. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Awful. That was a bad day. But my point is that there are things we can't see the future, yeah. Right? So but when you have these elements to it, you can pivot. You say, hey, we're still going to LA, but we're going to make some pivots because we know the economy's downturn.
Or you lose a staff member or whatever.
Crisis in the church, you know, it allows you space to recalibrate, kind of like what Siri says, recalibrating. We're going to recalibrate and navigate through that and keep moving forward. Yep. And so I just think as a leader, you having this really helps you chart a course that is very, very, very helpful.
I was going to lean into something too. Sometimes, you know, it's exciting when we're ahead of things sometimes, but then there's that, oh man, we're not hitting the mark, right? But I think it's a gift to be able to just sit back and evaluate and say, why not?
Yeah.
So were there some things maybe that we got out ahead of the Lord on, or it allows you to have a season of some evaluation to say, do we need to there just need to be some other adjustment? Did we take our eyes off the ball? Did we
right?
Did we get distracted by other things? I know sometimes when we've missed some of these pieces, it's because we got distracted.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 9 times out of 10, it's a new idea came up and then we later regret it and say, man, we shouldn't.
So leaders shouldn't. That. I mean, it should be a little bit of a gut check, but it also is a great time. It's a great gift to say, hey, if not, why not? And what might we need to do, or what might we need to lay down? Yeah. in this process. So
as we kind of come to a close, I do want to, on this episode, I really want you, y'all kind of touched around it. You've talked a little bit about how you evaluate, provide those times, but let's keep it super. I want to make this as clear as possible for the listeners. So take me through a calendar. Just give me a prototypical year. How are you keeping your thumb on this vision? Because you've talked about, hey, we evaluate, gives opportunity for that. But like super practically, what do you do it this month, that month? How, what's your rhythm of evaluating and recalibrating and just saying, hey, are we on track? Do we need to recalibrate? What does that look like here at Cross Creek?
Well, I'll just give you a very, very quick snapshot of that. Our new year begins with our fiscal year programming begins in July. And so we operate from July through the following June. And so we're planning with that in mind, yep, where we're kind of launching, moving into this fall through the spring, winter, spring, and then culminating in the summer. And so because of that, we go on our SLT, our senior leadership team gets together around November, December, and we start looking at, okay, where are we? As opposed to our, you know, against our long term and against our 1 year and our 3 year, where are we? Where do we stand on these? Are we making progress? Are we accomplishing what we want to? And then we will start dreaming about what that next 1 year is up against that 3 year goal.
Yeah.
Okay. Are we moving toward that? Are we making progress? What would be the next step we need to take this year? Mm-hmm. And then we will determine what we call KRAs, key result areas, for our whole team. And these are the priorities we're going to have this year that we really need to nail in order to get to where we want to go. And so we will go on a retreat in January and we will cast that out there. We'll show them the big 10-year vision. We'll show them where we are against that, what progress we've made. We'll celebrate that. And then we'll say, now the next step is going to be this year, we're really going to lean in on this. And so we'll kind of reveal those KRAs. And then they will a lot of that retreat is talking about that. What does that mean for their department, their area? How do we all work together to accomplish it? And then following that, and usually March and April, February, March, we will have our budget meetings where now that we know where we're going, we're going to arrange our budget to fit that so that we know where we're going. Now here's our ministry plans and dollars that go toward that. And then following that, we will have huddles where we actually plan our key events and the details of that. And then when we get to the end of June, we will cast this to the church and we will approve the new budget. And so we call that our night of vision, where I'm casting vision of what we're doing this next year and where we're going. We're celebrating the successes of the previous year and we're just recasting that, yep, vision. And so when we do a business meeting on budget approval, it is not your grandmother's business meeting. I mean, we have a lot of prayer. We do a lot of worship and celebration. We do the business meeting and the budget. We install new leaders. We pray over them. And then I do a vision casting message that says, this is where we're headed this next year.
Yeah, I love that.
And the goal of it is when you end, and then we usually have ice cream or, you know, something fun afterwards. And the goal of that is to just for them to leave with inspiration as to where we're, so there's that inspiration piece. Yep. This is where we're going. This is what we've accomplished. And the more we do that rhythm, again, the more credibility we have because we can show results moving toward the preferred destination that we have.
So I was going to bring a little bit of clarity. Listeners may have heard the word KRA and they're like, what's a KRA? It's a key result area. And a key result area is what is the 3, maybe 4, maybe 5 at most things that we have to do in order to move the ball down the court to reaching our long-term. So in other words, it's the 1 year key result area. This is the thing these 3 to 5 things we're focused on.
It's a dashboard.
That are going to move, right. That's part of that dashboard, yep, that are going to move the ball down the court.
Right.
And then I think it's important to say too, even if you're not a vision, you're resetting, hey, here's where we're going in the next 10 years, and without necessarily using the word, right, 10 years, but, right, you're casting that big, and here's what we've already seen God doing.
Right.
Here's some of these amazingly exciting things that have happened. Man, this is, and people get really motivated by that. Yeah. And then you say, hey, but again, as we continue to turn our attention towards this year, here are some of the things we're doing so that, right, we can continue to see God's handiwork in these next, you know, and being part. And I just think people just they that does it by. And I will say this, I think people want to give to something that's greater than themselves, and they also want to give exponentially when there's credibility tied to it.
Yeah, no doubt. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the giving is up, their inspiration is up, their unity is there, wrapped around your cause and your purpose. And so we found this model to be very effective in our location.
Yeah, and again, just as we close, I want to say, I mean, I've been led in different as a church member here by the leadership of this church. I've been led through, you know, as disciple first by you two, and it's extremely helpful to know that, number one, like you said, hey, what we're doing matters. Every little piece of what we do, it matters. But it's also, hey, look at this big thing that you're affecting. Look at this big part of God's story and just how you're playing a part in there. And I think that's where a lot, you know, I think the practical part, that incremental part of the vision combined with that inspirational, I think that's really key in getting everyone moving forward, whether that's church members, their bought in, their giving of their time, their talents, their, you know, dollars, and then on your team, they're really inspired to do what they want to pull those together. So I think that's extremely helpful. Again, this episode to me, I really like it because I'm a super practical person. Make it as simple as possible, you know, keep it low shelf. And I just think that, hey, how do you craft that intentional vision? Just to kind of recap, dashboard, windshield, destination, and really test your vision. And that's, you know, we've made both of those. We have, if you go on to the show notes of this episode, you can see we have a download for you. Just go in there, put in your information. We'll email you a PDF of that. How do you craft an intentional vision and the vision test? So we just want to give you these tools just so that it's super simple for you. And if you need anything else, we're always available at disciplefirst.com. You can reach out to our team. You can look on there what other resources, training, and coaching. We do a lot of coaching when it comes to crafting and communicating vision. And that's what we're going to talk about in our next episode, kind of part two of this is really, okay, now that you've crafted this intentional vision, how do you communicate it? How do you really cast that well? So if you need anything, our team is always here to serve you. Craig, Glenn, thank you for your leadership in leading well, but also being on this episode and really just sharing from your experience.
Our pleasure.
Thanks, Ben.
Yeah, and to you listeners, again, thank you so much for following us. We just hope that what we do is an encouragement to you as you are becoming and being a disciple-making leader. Till next time.
Thank you for listening to the Disciple Making Leader podcast, brought to you by Disciple First. We hope today's episode has been both helpful and challenging in your journey to becoming a disciple making leader. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button to make sure you hear the next episode. And if you have a moment, we'd love to hear your thoughts. Leave a review and share this podcast with your friends. Until next time, keep making Jesus the model for your life and ministry.